In these Sundays after the Feast of the Epiphany, as I've said, I think probably every week, we focus on how God is revealed and made known to us. We discover who Jesus is, his nature, his mission. And we have two examples today. In the first lesson, we have a vision that Isaiah has, a vision of God. And in the Gospel, Peter glimpses who Jesus is, something about his nature. So Isaiah has this vision in which he sees the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty. The hem of his robe fills the temple. Heavenly beings attend God, and the seraphs proclaim, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." I suspect these ancient words sound familiar to you, given we sing them every Sunday at the Eucharist in the Sanctus. The Sanctus, which is the central hymn of our liturgy. And we sing that just before God is present among us in the signs of bread and wine, in the body and blood of Jesus. When Isaiah hears the seraphs proclaim these words, it sounds like it's a frightening business. The thresholds of the temple shake. The temple fills with smoke. Isaiah is filled with dread and fear and says, "Woe is me, I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." In response to seeing God and the worship of the heavenly host, Isaiah is filled with a sense of his own unworthiness as well as the unworthiness of his people. He's aware he's not as holy as the Lord, seated on the throne, high and lofty. I have to be honest, I share Isaiah's sentiment. Like many priests, this lesson was read at my ordination, and I remember feeling unworthy in the awesome presence of God, inadequate to live this vocation to which God was calling me. I prayed that day, expressing a hope that God knew what God was doing better than I, in calling me to be a priest, an infallible creature. So I felt something like Isaiah. But it's interesting to keep going with what happens, because after Isaiah expresses his fear and his unworthiness, the vision shows the immensity and transcendence of God, but it also goes on to show God's loving attention to humanity, how God is present to us, offering us just what we need when we experience the glory of God. And so in response to Isaiah and his sense of unworthiness, God sends a seraph who touches Isaiah's lips with a hot coal from the altar. And the seraph declares, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Through this action, Isaiah is purified. He is healed. His guilt is removed. And the transformation is so complete that Isaiah is able to move from saying, "Woe is me," to answering God's call to be God's prophet. And he says emphatically, "Here I am, send me." And so Isaiah is sent forth to proclaim God's word, calling the people to return to God. And many ears will indeed be deaf to Isaiah's proclamation, but he is nonetheless faithful in making it, speaking God's word to the people. And so we have in this passage the revelation of God as inspiring awe, as worthy of adoration, full of glory beyond our comprehension. But we also see God who is in relationship with humanity, who's aware of our needs, willing to meet us where we are. How God offers us what we need to accept the call and the vocation that God has in store for us. Though we are not perfect, we are not always faithful, we are not as holy as maybe we ought to be, and yet God uses us in our frailty for God's work. In the collect of the day this morning, we pray, set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins, and give us the liberty of that abundant life which you have made known to us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. These words are a fine summary of God's intention for us. How God wants to set us free from whatever separates us from God, from our neighbor, from ourselves. And to do so we find freedom in the abundant life that God offers. God calls us away from our doubts and our reservations, any sense of unworthiness from our sinfulness, and calls us into the life that God prepares for us. And we see this also in our gospel today, where Peter has his own experience of God's revelation, and also his response of feeling unworthy. In this early part of Luke's gospel, Jesus is full of the Spirit after his baptism, and he has gone to the wilderness, where he was tested for 40 days and 40 nights, and then sent out into the world where he proclaims God's word through his actions, as well as his words. And because of that, we hear in today's passage, the crowds are pressing in on Jesus. They want to hear his teaching. And so he gets in Simon Peter's boat and teaches from the shore. After teaching, Jesus asked Peter to take his boat out into the deep water and put down the fishing nets. Peter tells Jesus, they worked all night and they have caught nothing. I can almost hear a weariness and a resignation in his voice after a fruitless night of hard work, maybe even reluctance to try again. But nonetheless, Peter does as Jesus says. And things are different. This time, there are so many fish, the nets are straining, the boats are sinking. There is such an abundance of fish, unlike the night before. Peter understands something profound has happened, something miraculous has happened. This catch was more than just luck. And so, like Isaiah before him, his response to this experience is to express his unworthiness. He says, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Peter glimpses who Jesus is, how he is in the divine presence of Jesus. And Peter feels the weight of his sin and his failings. Jesus does not condemn Peter, but instead reassures him and says, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. Jesus is able to see Peter in his full personhood. He does not judge Peter, but instead invites Peter, offering him a life of transformation, inviting him to live in a way he has never lived before. And Jesus does so with an image that Peter can relate to. To go from fishing for fish to fish for people. This ordinary encounter with the fishermen Peter and James and John changes their lives. They glimpse this revelation of who Jesus is. They experience the miraculous promise that hopelessness and fruitless situations can be transformed into abundance, into God's promise. Their experience of Jesus is so profound, they leave behind everyone and everything, even that great abundance of fish they just caught. And they go on to follow Jesus. As you know, Peter gives the rest of his life to being a disciple. He doesn't always do this perfectly. At times he has failings, but he is committed and he follows Jesus. He gives his entire life over to Jesus. And like Jesus, in the end, is crucified, suffering a martyr's death. And it is through all of Peter's labors, through his witness, that so many generations after him have come to know the promise of abundant life in Jesus. Both Peter and Isaiah experience a vision, a revelation of God that changes their lives. They both feel in the presence of God the ways they are not worthy of their call. They know fear, but they also come to trust God, to accept the healing presence of God's love, to give the rest of their lives over to following, living as best they can, the vocation God has given them. Like Isaiah, like Peter, so it is for us. God is revealed to us as well through Scripture, in the sacraments, in community. God is present when we least expect, in very ordinary moments of life. Like Peter, we might be at work one day, or we might be engaged in some activity where we feel some frustration, maybe it's not feeling fruitful. And in that moment, God comes among us. Comes among us with love and acceptance, with abundance. In response to God's presence, we are invited to respond by following. The call to discipleship is, of course, not easy. It is a great cost. It requires hearts that hear and obey God's call. It asks we repent of the ways we fall short of God's love. It calls us to be persistent, even fearless, risking everything by pulling out into the deep waters of our lives, and to that place where growth and transformation can happen. Answering the invitation of Jesus requires that we give up everything to follow Him. But this complete surrender of our heart and our will comes with the promise of a life we can scarcely hope for or imagine. Today's gospel miracle of the abundant fish has, from the very earliest times in the church, been understood as evoking the Eucharist. Fish, of course, are caught for food. Peter's nets hold so much, more fish than anyone could hope for. They represent a lavish feast, offering more than enough for all people. God's loving generosity provides food for everyone, and so the fish are a powerful image of how God satisfies our hunger. For God comes among us in the bread and the wine of the Eucharist, filling us with the loving presence of God. This heavenly food is freely given, not earned by us. It is God's generous and lavish gift to us that satisfies our deepest needs. All the ways that we might be unfulfilled or empty, that we might know longing, find satisfaction in Jesus present in the Eucharist. I find this gospel today and its promise comforting during this continuing pandemic time. It has been a long, challenging 23 months. Many have known much grief and loss. Just on Friday, we reached the grim milestone of 900,000 people dead in this nation. In our own parish, we have known the pain of loss. After a long period of virtual worship, thanks be to God, we at last gather in person, but we're here. We're not yet in the church. And so we wait. And if you're like me, you sometimes wait patiently and other times not so patiently. But we wait, we long and pray for an end to this pandemic and a return to practices we treasure. But I think we also know that we have been changed by this experience, and probably in ways we don't yet understand. And we know that things won't be exactly the same as they once were. And so we live in this in-between time. And in this time, there is hope for us to hold on to. Jesus promises to be with us in the barren times, to be with us when things feel fruitless, when we feel impatient, when hope is waning. He stands ready to call us into the deep waters of our anxiety and fear, and promises to stand beside us as we cast our nets. With Jesus, there is hope for an unknown abundance, hope for a life richly, newly rich, newly full, just like those nets of the fishermen. And so this day, Jesus invites us to follow Him into the deep waters of our lives, trusting that He leads us on the path to liberty in God's love. May we faithfully follow, allowing God to use us for God's purposes in building the kingdom. May we say yes to this invitation and follow Jesus wherever He leads us, and always accept His words of comfort and hope, and embrace the promise of the abundant life to which we are called. Amen.